Because fooled me once, shame on me. Fooled me twice, shame on everybody else. Because they didn't tell me not to do it a second time. Amen. What's that? No. No. All right. So now we all get the laughing and the ha-has and the hoo-hoos. Let's get serious, right? So I'm just going to pray real quick, and we're going to jump right in. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you for each and every one here today, God. I thank you, Lord, that you've prepared their hearts to receive, God. Their minds are open, Father, to just hear what it is you have to say today. Lord, that your word would be profound, that it would be pointed, and Father God, that it would always set out and accomplish its will, Father. So we just give your word over to your people today, God. We ask you, Lord, to just bless it, anoint it, and allow it to flow properly through me, Father. And we just thank you for everything it provides in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And I was thinking about it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull out the old classic. And I'm like, no, save it for another day. It's still there. We still do it. It still happens. But we had to break the cycle. It became kind of cultish, and people were thinking we're a cult. We're not a cult. We're not a cult. Amen. No, there's Pepsi and Sprite, no Kool-Aid. All right. So, our pursuit of holiness and this mission holiness that we started last week, we're continuing on. We'll be on this track for the rest of the month. Because I don't think there's enough time for us to really encompass the depth and magnitude of truly what holiness is and how it impacts and how it looks in us. But that doesn't mean we're not going to try. Amen. We're going to continue to try because there's something in us that needs to happen, and we're going to figure it out together, because I'm not going through this by myself. I'm sorry. If I'm getting punched and bullied and beat up by God, and all y'all are too. We're in this together. We're a team. Amen. Amen. All right. So in this pursuit of holiness, we can determine some things. And one of the things we can determine is that it does not come by something that we can supply, right? I cannot supply holiness in my life, right? It's easy. Okay. This is why we need God. We need God because, again, we go back to last week, that simple but very, very pointed command of be holy for I am holy is not a, well, think about this and get back to me, you know, if it doesn't fit in your schedule, we'll work it out, you know, oh, if that's a job qualification, it's not that important. No, it's very strict, very simple, be holy for I am holy. And so if that's our directive, then we have a job to do. And that means we better start getting holy, right? But we don't have to worry about supplying it because God is the supplier of his holiness. So here we go. How do we do this? How does this happen? Does it happen because I put on Christ? Is that it? I get saved? Boom. Jesus, I'm holy now. We're good. I mean, it's a starting point, but it's not the all is complete, finished, one-time trick pony thing that we learned about, okay? The reason this is because, and this is a good hand-opening question, how many people here are sinners? If you didn't raise your hand, stay a little while. I'll talk to you. It's not to come down on you. I'm just going to educate you and inform you that you're misguided and you're not really being honest with yourself. The facts of life is that guess what? As long as we're trapped in this carcass of a flesh-filled body, meat bag, as I like to call it, okay, you are going to be under sin because we were born into this. We were born with this flesh and we have to die to this flesh. And unfortunately, if you try to do that, you will die literally. Just don't know any other way to rip the flesh off of a person and not have them die of probably just heart failure because of the pain. And not to be gruesome, sorry, but facts are facts. All right. But here's the thing. If we understand that, okay, so today everybody raised their hand. Tomorrow is somebody going to go, oh, you know what? I'm sin free. No, not likely. Tuesday, still going to have your hand up. 2 minutes from now, still going to have your hand up. 30 seconds from now, if you're a guy, still going to have your hand up. Okay? So what does this mean? If sin is a constant in our life, then guess what holiness needs to be? It needs to be constant. It needs to be an absolute constant in our lives, because in order for this to work, guess what? If you put holiness next to sin, who wins? Holiness. Thank you. It was an easy answer. I didn't think it was that hard. Holiness wins. Why? Because God defeated sin, right? So if holiness immediately crushes sin, then if you have equal amount of sin coming in and equal amount of holiness coming in, holiness wins. So this is why God is stressing that aspect of be holy for I am holy, because that conquering sin aspect comes because of his holiness. It does come because of the remission of sins through the power of Christ, but we have to continue to walk in it. That's why it is be holy for I am holy, not do holy or act holy. It is actually an aspect of being, okay? And here's the good news, guys. Since that is a necessity, we recognize that, right? We recognize the need for holiness consistently in my life. Yes, we can say yes and amen to that. All right. Well, if that's the case, then there's good news at the end of this whole thing, because God even created a way for this to happen. My goodness, he's so stinking brilliant. Like, if you think in any point in your life that there's not an answer, that you can't have the solution to this, God's thought of all of it. It's all done. Like, I know for a while, Pastor Dan was struggling with this really ridiculous, equation. I mean, you remember that, Mr. Caleb? When your dad had that, like, really, really masterful, like, created equation? And he was working on it for months. And I jokingly said, why don't you just ask God for the answer? He laughed and snickered, and then he's like, no, there's no fun in that. Cause he knows that God will give him the answer, but then you go back and you go, okay, yeah, that's right, but show me your work. And you're like, oh, come on. Right? My work was, I was on my knees. Right? All right. I'm sure that wouldn't work in math class. Don't do that, kids. It doesn't work. You might have all the right answers. So we're going to go to Romans. So if you all want to turn there or look up Romans chapter 11. Love Romans. We all love Romans. Yes. Romans is a good book. So Romans 11, 16 through 24. And there it is up there. But I'm just going to read it here because I have my Bible here. And if you remember, I talked kind of ended last week with this kind of little nugget to bring you back today, which you all came back, so it worked. That we're going to talk about some planting and trees and stuff. And here it is. So, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. The root supports you. You will then say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. And we talked about that. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? Now, I will bring some definitional clarity here. There's a specific target audience that this is addressing. However, if you miss that because your focus is on the target audience, you missed a very powerful and very important teaching on how this is accomplished. Because again, it's not based on what I can supply, right? I can't manufacture holiness. I cannot supply it to the extent that is needed to eviscerate sin from my life on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but anytime, and if you haven't tried, try. Try using your willpower to not sin. Good luck, call me when you fail miserably. I'm going to tell you literally, it's impossible. You might have a really strong, I have really solid will. Yeah, you probably do. You might have been a stubborn child. Okay, good. Let's see how long you last, stubborn child. You ever hear that phrase, your arms are too short to box with God? Yeah, that's how it happens. You literally will collapse under exhaustion from trying to do it under your own strength. Because it's not possible. So, if we take this and we dial it back, so Dylan, I'm going to ask you to rewind it. We're going to start at the top and we're going to keep going down because there's a lot and I want to just digest it bit by bit. But if you start right at the very, very, very beginning, it says, for the first fruit is holy. The first fruit. That is the initial crop, the initial planting, the initial seed. That first fruit is holy. Well, this is simple, okay? God is the perfect source of holiness. God is the first fruit. He is literally the supplier of all that is to follow. Every aspect, right? If we understand God is creator, God is sovereign, He is creator, He has created everything. That means you can't, that has to come from Him directly, right? We understand that? Okay, so it has to come from Him directly. But here's some interesting dynamics, right? You have the first fruit, you have the lump, and you have the root. I recognize those as 1, 2, and 3 parts of the Holy Trinity. Take a nice solid look at that. Because this is another aspect of God revealing and showing how His triune nature is also holy and supreme in every aspect. So whether you call on God the Father, God the Son, or the Holy Spirit, you are embarking on a journey towards His holiness. That's important. And what does this do? It also supports the principle of holiness in every aspect of God. Every finger, every dot, every subject matter you can bring and approach. Right? If you are encountering God in some fashion or some facet, you are encountering a holy God. Got it? So what does that mean? Well, that means then, if you go back to last week, we should be fearful because in every one of those exchanges, we're in face to face with His holiness as a filthy, disgusting sinner. And we shouldn't be able to be in that spot because in God's holiness, we're subjected to judgment. But He is a just and righteous God. And so because of that, there's grace. And we focus on that grace every time we have that exchange. Right? Now, the first fruit's holiness, right? The first fruit is holy, right? Is sufficient for all. Think about this, right? For if the first fruit is holy, then also the lump, right? So because of the first fruit's holiness, the lump is holy. And because the lump is holy, the root is holy. Do we get the chain of connection? Is holiness a partial or a percentage? Did the percentile change? No. The first fruit's 100% holy. The lump is 100% holy. The roots are 100% holy. Every branch that is then grafted in to that system is also how much holy? 100%. Caveat, if you partake. See, there's enough holiness that you can't exhaust it. You can't quench it out. You can't burn it up. You can't exhaust it. But the problem we run into is that we just don't. We just simply don't. I don't know why we don't do that, okay? But some other things to note, right? All branches. All branches. That does not mean just the pretty looking ones. That doesn't mean just the apple ones or just the olive ones. No, even the ones that were nasty, gnarled, broken off, and thrown away actually have a chance to come back? Really? Really? Interesting. I think that that's really awesome. But keep that there. But if you're not aware, I'm going to throw a little educational lesson. I'm talking about something. It's called grafting. And if you don't know horticulture, you probably don't know what grafting is. Because you might understand a theoretical principle of it, but I like to learn. So when I decided I'm going to go on this journey, I decided I'm going to go really learn what this process is all about. Cool stuff. Interesting. Naming things. I like that. You're bonding a branch known as a scion, okay, to the stock, also known as the root stock, to provide nourishment. Interesting fact. Didn't know this. The scion is still responsible to produce the fruit of its kind. The root stock simply is the supplier of nourishment. Interesting. So I have this nice root stock of a pear tree. Don't know why I picked a pear. Anyway, I hate pears. Pear tree. Now, it's got a really healthy root system. And I have this not so doing great little sapling of a tree that's going to produce, give me something. Kumquats. Fantastic. Kumquats. It's an actual fruit, so there you go. Okay? So, it needs help. So I take one of the branches, and I take it, and then I attach it, and I'm not joking, literally, they put this thing, they make a little cut into the tree, and they put the branch into the little sap, and then they take, and I'm not joking, scotch tape. And that's it. And now that scion branch of a kumquat tree is now attached to a pear tree. And guess what? At one point when that tree grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and starts to produce fruit, you will literally have all these branches over here producing pears and this one branch producing kumquats. Now, there's a lot of other equations of whether or not that branch would be able to produce fruits, pollination, things of that nature, whether or not it's the right conditions, you know, all those different types of things. I'm not trying to get into the science of actual harvesting plants and crops. But I found that truly, truly amazing. Truly amazing that in this process of grafting, some principles I didn't even think about absolutely still persist and pertain according to scripture and how they are to be related to us. I'm like, well, God, you win. You win. You win, you win, you win, you win. I know nothing and you know everything and I'm just going to sit here with a dumb look on my face and go, educate me, sir. So where does this translate to us? Well, let's take a look at the root. Who is the root? Who? Be more specific. No. Thank you, sir. Jesus is the root. Jesus is the root. Okay? Jesus is the root because he is the one who supplies. Okay? Because he's the one who paid the price. So he is the vessel through which we go through, right? It's like a funnel. We go through Jesus. You get to the Father through Jesus. Aside from Jesus, we have no access to the Father. So we need Christ in order to make this work. That's key step number one, right? The second little key note that I thought was interesting about this is one major fact, that branches can be broken off due to one circumstance. And what was that one circumstance? Dylan, if you could, to the next. Verse 20 says, well said, but because of unbelief, they were broken off. Honest to goodness, This part, if you don't take the weight and the measure of this, is huge. I mean, it literally is that huge. What is unbelief? Is unbelief just, I don't believe in God, so I don't know what you're talking about? Well, yeah, that's unbelief. Truly, that's real unbelief. But that's not what this is talking about. What's it talking about? Is more. I see your hand, Mr. Caleb, but it's not that kind of class. This unbelief is doubt. It's doubt. It's doubt in the magnanimous power that God has in your life. And see, the reason this doesn't work and why those branches are broken off is because what happens when those branches don't believe is they don't believe in the source and the supply. They're not receiving the supply. And so if that branch is in unbelief, it's never going to do something. It's never going to receive the supply and nourishment. Therefore, it's never going to produce anything. It's never going to blossom. It's never going to produce a leaf. It's just going to be a dead branch that is going to take up space on a live, flourishing tree. And so guess what? That branch has no business staying there. It's taking up space for a branch that actually will flourish. Now, do you think this branch is limited, or this tree is limited with supply? No. Is it limited with space? No, not really. There's always more room. So then why break that branch off? I'll get to that. There's a big, huge picture in this. But also, if you do believe, and you were a branch that's over there, and you're not doing great on your own, but you believe, well, welcome to the tree. We'll graft you in. Now you get to be supplied with nourishment. And this nourishment is just His holiness. Constant supply. And what does it do? It helps us deal with all the junk, all the garbage, every day of our life that we have to deal with because we get pelted in onslaughts of how much the world doesn't want us to be successful in moving and walking out in God's holiness. So take that for a minute. Take a big picture step back and look at it. That means now we admitted that we are sinners. Okay, great. We admitted that we need a constant supply of God's holiness because that's the only way we're actually going to be able to deal with our sin on a daily basis. Now you get to a warfaric mentality, right? This is a spiritual war. What does the enemy want? He wants you to stumble and fall because in your nature of sin, if you stumble and fall, you are a poor representative of Christ Jesus. You are not representing His holiness. Therefore, you are not effective in the kingdom and you're not effective in the expansion of His kingdom. However, if you are triumphant and walking through His holiness every day and allowing it to provide to conquer over that sin that is in your life on a daily basis, you are victorious and therefore you are a valiant representative of the things that those who struggle, those branches that need to be grafted in, okay, are looking for, and you are a vessel to say, hey, guess what? There's hope for you too because I was that branch. Now I know that's a lot to take in. That was a lot of words. But that's a big picture to a small, simple example of a tree. And if you look at this and you read it, yes, I can give you the facts. This is directed at Israel. At the time, Israel was in rebellion. They didn't receive Jesus well. We knew that. And they were stubborn. And so this was aimed and directed at the stubborn unbelief of those Jews that were not willing to accept Christ. And that those individuals that thought that they had their cake because they were just God's chosen, God was setting a different tone now. God was saying, yeah, God still loves you, but if you want to still operate in unbelief, I'm going to make you feel really sour in about 2 seconds because you're my chosen people, but because you don't love my son, this Gentile over here does. And they hated Gentiles. So it was a bit of a humbling experience for this teaching to come out to the Jews. Because they were getting a rude awakening that, guess what? Just because you are a Jew does not mean that you're fine. And it was earth-shattering. But as Gentile, this was excellent news. Because now we get to be part of the cool kids, right? We get to be part of the fam. And it was like, all right, this is cool stuff. I get to know what it's like to be like you now. I get to be like you, Moira. Whoop, whoop. Although this is a metaphor, and yes, the Bible's filled with all these, if we really just sit and just ponder how tremendous this is, you'll get a big understanding of all this stuff that we're talking about today in holiness. God is the supplier of everything, all our needs. But that key principle of how we're still responsible as a branch, independent, to produce our own fruit, I can't stress how totally, totally mind-melting this was when I had gone through this by myself. Another illustration that isn't clear here in this example specifically, but if you take the principle and the things that are being stated here clearly in Scripture about that fruit and that branch and it being grafted into the root, okay, and into the tree, they only used an example of one type of fruit. But how many different types of fruit are there? A lot. Didn't seem like God was too picky about the type of fruit that was going into this tree, did he not? Because he literally was just talking about how this branch and that branch, and it didn't matter as long as it was not, as long as it believed, right? As long as this branch believes, there's room on the tree, and you were grafted in. So it didn't matter if you were an apple branch or if you were an olive branch. It didn't matter if you were a flowering branch. It didn't matter what type of branch you were. What does this mean? Well, to me, I see that and I go, well, that just means the diversity of what God wants to do is even bigger than what you think. God's not black. God's not white. God's not Asian. God's not Korean. God doesn't care. Because God created all of you, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your gifts, regardless of your talents, regardless of what it is that you've done before, and regardless of what you're going to do in the future. Guess what? God created you, and he wants you to himself. So there's room on this tree for you. And it doesn't matter what you're in. It doesn't matter what you believed before. It doesn't matter if you were Catholic. It doesn't matter if you were set in Judaism. It doesn't matter where you come from. There's room in the tree for you. Only one caveat, you must believe. But if you don't, there's no room. Now let's go back to that. Why is that so important? Because the big picture is the tree. God is interested in the diversity of this tree and it all producing fruit, because he will not be settling for one area of this to not produce fruit. God is interested in one thing, and one thing only, and it is the production of fruit in our lives. Period. End of discussion. That's what he cares about. That's why this illustration is so important. Because although there's a diversity of fruits being projected here, right? Christ is the unifier of the diversity. So if you turn around and go, well, you know, I'm Russian Orthodox, Catholic, or whatever. I'm like, well, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yeah, okay, then we're brothers. Cool. I don't care. I don't care how you worship. I don't care how you get the scriptures read to you or you read them yourself. I don't care. One facet matters, and it is that you believe in Jesus Christ and that he died and paid the ultimate price for the remission of all sins. And that you accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. That is important, because then we're no longer separated, but we're together. And there's unity. One body, one head. So we must be dependent on that relationship, okay, as the key cornerstone of this whole thing. But then we must be responsible. And that responsibility comes back to the first thing I said, which is, yes, there's 100% holiness in full supply at all times, ready to be used, and we just don't. For this weird, odd reason. And why is that? Well, We're going to get there. So the purpose of the supply. Dylan, if you could, please. 1 Peter, 4th chapter, verse 11, one verse. Sorry, not sorry. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There are a lot of weight and meat in that little bit. So I'm just going to go in swinging. Very first things is talking about your speaking and then your ministering. And all that comes down to one little thing. To me, if you read really, really, like, I don't know, there's a little space here between those. You see that? Do you see the writing in between the lines? Small. If you don't, like, get your bifocals on and, you know, look really, really close. There's a lot in between. And what's in between there is that you are responsible for your actions. You are. You are 100% responsible for your actions. And you go, Pastor, how is it you can say that? Well, because God's not invoking your will. You're not a robot. You have a free will. God gave you a free will. He created you with a free will. Therefore, your actions are your own. What you do with this life is entirely up to you. Entirely. So what does that mean then? Well, it seems like a nice, okay, well, that's fine. I can deal with that. Doesn't seem like it's so bad. Okay. Well, how have I told you then, by reading this again in between those lines, that the result of the action is based on your supply? If anyone speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. So what that means to me then is that there's two ways to do this. We can do it with me at the helm based on my supply, which will lead to who being glorified? Me. However, that's not what's being asked here, right? It's clear in saying, if anybody ministers, let him do so with the ability that God supplies. And the reason for that is because in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, if you're not sure what this is talking about, this is called producing fruit. See, when you speak, fruit's produced. That's why your words matter. That's why your speech matters. That's why we have so many scriptures talking about how there's life and death in the tongue. How you have the power of life and cursings and blessings and all these different things in your speech. Why is that? Because with your words, you can bring down things from heaven and produce them here on earth. That's power. That's in your tongue. You have the ability to speak things into being, and it happens because God has designed it so, but it's based off of that awesome supply that you must have. Because if you're trying to do it and speak things that are not what God has deemed, then you have nothing. Is God not wanting nothing? No. God wants you to produce fruit. Why? Because when you produce fruit because of His supply, He is glorified. I know that rhymed, that wasn't intentional. All right? if we understand this, the product, the production, the fruit, the actual completion of whatever that action is coming to fruition, when we see that fruit and it's God's supply that has produced that fruit and he's receiving glory, what happens? It shows you something. And I don't know about you, but if you have not experienced this in your life, leave here today desiring to have this experience. The experience that you have produced fruit that didn't happen because you did it. That this is just supernatural. This happened. I said this and it, I mean, like, we're talking like not instantaneous, but close to it. And it's just like, boom. You're like, zipper, tongue, you're not saying words for like 4 days because you're like, I'm terrified. Because if I say one more thing, like I get cut off in the road and I say something to that driver, I don't want to see what happens. Because yes, you do have that power. But when you experience that, there's a connection that you now know deep in your heart, your knowing of knowing that fruit is real, God is real, I have the ability to produce it as long as I'm connected to that source and he's supplying all of that. It becomes very real. And it's not just something that you heard at church. Oh, pastor was talking about this stuff. Sounded pretty cool. Mm-mm. When it's real, it's different. John 15. I heard a yay. You won't be saying that anymore. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Supportive, again, of exactly what we just read before, right? And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So that branch sitting there on the side of the road is never going to produce a fruit. We all know that. That's greed, right? If it starts producing fruit, run away. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nada. Zip, zilch, nothing. All of this scripture, these couple verses here that come together, give you really strong inclinations that God is interested in really only one major thing. And is that we produce fruit. He is seeking fruit out of our lives. It is paramount. And you might be like, well, I thought God was interested in having his kids come back to him. And I thought that was the objective. Isn't that what the kingdom's about? Establishing his kingdom on earth? Isn't that what you talked about before? And isn't that like, you know, the whole purpose of why you get saved is so that you can go, you know, minister to somebody else and they can get saved and all this great and wonderful stuff? I thought that's what we were here for. Clearly you don't understand what fruit is. Let me educate you. Here's what fruit is. That's fruit. You're right. But that's exactly what fruit is. Because guess what? You could talk all day long until it's real fruit in front of that person. They're not going to have anything to eat. They're starving for that. You're right. But all the words and all the actions and all the deeds in the world that you are trying to manufacture will never produce fruit. So if you're trying to get somebody saved and you're trying to witness to them and you're trying to do this, guess what will happen? Nothing. Because they're not getting actual fruit. Testimony time. My father, okay, who some of you had the pleasure of meeting, okay, happened to be in this church, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, got free from alcohol because of one thing. And it had nothing to do with me. had nothing to do with my actions, had nothing to do with me witnessing to him, had nothing to do with me telling him he needs to stop drinking. Matter of fact, the last time before he got saved, he was in a bar with me, and I didn't see him for months on end after that because I didn't want to be around him. Because I didn't like him. Because he was nasty. And he was mean. I'm an adult. I don't need you. I'm good. I prayed. Absolutely. I prayed a lot. But I knew something. God told me not to worry about it. God told me he knows my heart. He knows my desire. He knows what I want. He knows I want my family to just come to Jesus because I care genuinely about my family and their future. And when that happened, I can't explain how or what or when and how all that transpired, but what I know is that he came back to me and he said, you know why? Because I realized that every time I tried to do something, I screwed it up. But the one thing that never got screwed up was you. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I would have screwed you up if I had my hands on you, but because I let you go, God took over and God changed your life. And I realized that. And now God's going to change my life. Fruit. How did that happen? Because I was submitted to the God's will in my life and allowing God to supply my needs and his holiness to conquer sin in my life and I to be transformed completely from a person that swore more than any sailor I've ever met, okay, to now having my tongue tamed so well that I find other people cursing and I'm just like, really? That's the word you chose? That's fruit. That's real, tangible fruit. And when somebody gets a hold of that fruit, that seed in that fruit germinates and starts to blossom in their life. And they start to receive a need to be grafted in, a need to have the supply. Because now they're a branch and they don't know what to do with it. They recognize, oh, I'm a branch on the side of the road. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. What am I doing? They're lost. That's why he uses the illustration of being broken off and separated, because guess what? If you're not on the root and you're not supplying any, you're never attached to the root, you're never going to supply a fruit. And you might be like, well, then wait a minute. How come there's so many people that just stay in sin? Why isn't a whole bunch of people just recognizing that they're not producing fruit in their life? Well, that's a good question. Think back to before you got saved and how great life was. The enemy's really good at deception. So good that he made you think you were producing fruit. He made you think you were a tree. A big tree. Like this beautiful tree. And you're just a dead branch on the side of the road. But he deceived you. He made you think you had it all. He made you think every rock that drove past your little limp branch on the side of the road was like the coolest thing ever. Every time you got tumbled over, oh man, that was a roller coaster ride. That was great. Yeah, he had you duped. Now, you look back at that scripture and it said, guess what? Okay, cool. You produce fruit. What did that mean? That didn't mean you were done. God saw that you produced fruit and he says, ooh, I got a good one over there. I got a good one. That one's producing good fruit. Cool. Snip, snip, snip. Why? Why, God? Why? I was doing what you told. Why'd you do that? Because there's more. Pruning doesn't feel great, but he prunes us because we're producing fruit. There's more. Why can he determine that? What gives him the ability to determine that just because you produced one fruit that there's going to be more to be produced? Why? Let's go back. Because you're receiving from the supply 100% of his holiness to produce that fruit. And so if you're 100% in, there's a lot more where that came from. I need to make room. So I'm going to prune you so we get a whole bunch of other little branches that produce off of you to produce even more fruit. And if we understand the scripture, the vine dresser is God the Father Almighty, who takes very seriously yet again the production of fruit from his tree of life. He is very serious about that production of fruit because he has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a goal. And his goal is that every single person hears the gospel of his son and comes to the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's his goal. And so when that fruit is produced, he's very anxious to see more come out. Because more fruit produced means what? More souls. To see the perfecting of God's holiness brought through this application of us being grafted in, okay, gives us a deeper look into this mission. Holiness isn't for you. Holiness is through you. See, you're a branch. You're a shoot. Kind of like a mini tree in your own little world, if you're living there still. But if you're not and you're grafted in, you are a shoot. See, that tree produced fruit on its own. It doesn't really need you. But when you're grafted in, it's going to use you, go through you, to produce fruit. He wants us to be open and receptive to allowing his holiness to pass through us into the production of fruit. You hear it all the time in scripture about how we're vessels. Well, this is more of another example of how you're just a vessel. You're a vessel of his holiness. And as a branch, we reach out. We provide coverings. And we supply fruit. And the intention of that fruit is to go and produce like kind. It's simple. But my goodness, it's so deep. So, so deep. And I think it's really apropos that the kids are learning about seeds. I think that's awesome. God's winning. He's winning with kids. He's winning with adults today. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, he can't lose, so it's not like it's kind of like, nah, I'm not even going to go there. I'll just come back to it another time. All right. So here's the challenge for you all today. What has God's holiness produced in your life? And furthermore, what fruit is being produced? The measure of this whole lesson is going to always draw to one simple, simple formula. If we're really connected to the root, and that supply is paramount in your life, you will have fruit. If it's not, the true tell of whether it is or isn't is simple. Where's your fruit? If you don't have it, it's not a God problem. Supply is 100%. We all agree, right? It's not the root system. Jesus is perfect. Must be the branch. And that branch could just be suffering from a little unbelief. It's okay. Fix it. Believe. Believe. Believe that God is going to supply every need of your life. It's been a constant theme today. How much are you really willing to let God have? If you're only okay with God having a small little bit and all this other stuff you need to hold on to, a little unbelief is still unbelief. That little bit of belief isn't going to outweigh all that other unbelief. God wants 100% of faith and belief that he is going to take care of it all. If we're still operating in an independent state of mind, where we're in control, we have to make the decisions, we have to govern everything around us, then we're not really truly relying on the nourishment that the root supplies. So the challenge is to go today. Do a little dissection. Are you producing fruit? Great. If you are, awesome. Keep doing it. Allow God to prune you. Produce more fruit. If you're not, find out what's impeding you. Go there. Go there with God with the full intent of him fully examining what is keeping you from moving forward in this and being truly dependent on Him and His supply for your needs, your life, because that's what He wants. Because, and here's the cool part, guys, it's a win-win. If I let go of all that stuff and I give it all to God and I go, God, you know what? I can't do it. I need you. You need to supply it all. I need your supply. He'll supply. That's my win. Because now it's because of Him, not because of me. And then the second win is I produce fruit. I'm actually going to produce fruit in my life. Double win. And all of it goes to God, because He's the one who gets the glory in the end. Right? Because if he's not getting glorified, uh-oh. You're back down again. Try again. Okay? Stand with me, guys. Lord, we thank You, God. We thank You that You are so holy that You supply every need, God. There is no area that You have not managed to fulfill in every part of our life, God. You are standing before us right here today, God, with Your hands full of every need we could possibly ask for or imagine. It doesn't matter if it's health. It doesn't matter if it's financial. It doesn't matter if it's social. Whatever is going on, whatever needs we see before us, and needs are real, God. We understand. We get it. We have to live here. We have to eat, sleep, breathe, and partake of Your great earth that You've created and all the things that have been created in it, Father. We have to live and eat and breathe here. And You know that that's tough. And You know that there's a battle of sin and death over our lives constantly waging war against us, God. So there are needs across the board, God. And not one area, God, have You not said, I am sufficient. So today, God, we acknowledge Your sufficiency, Your completeness, Your holiness in all its provision for every area of our life, God. And we will come here today. We will not leave here holding on to any other aspects, God, but we will kneel here before Your throne today, thankful, God, that You are the Jehovah of everything, God. There is no area that You have not charted. There is no area. If we would just surrender our will, our way, our practices, our things that we find ourselves doing over and over and over again, thinking we're going to get a different result, God. We're going to put it down today, God. We will not leave here until we have received fully what it is that You are trying to supply for our lives so that we can begin the fruit production process, God. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, God, for Your provision in my life, and I thank You for the provision in each one here, God, and that they would rejoice in Your supply for their life. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.